Thumbs up. Here we go. What's popping? It's Tuesday of the best week of the year, maybe.
Oh, easily.
The short 3-day week.
Football and food.
Oh, family. Great games.
Fornication. All
Lions on Thanksgiving.
Oh, nothing better than that.
I think the Hokies play Friday, which is exciting for me. No one else. Radio for one.
Well, they beat Notre Dame.
Also Friday. Yeah. Also Friday is the battle of Western Michigan versus Toledo for the MAC West.
I hope they win because I want to go to the MAC championship game like I do every year. And there's like 20 people usually at Ford Field. Now if Western wins, that's going to throw all my plans off.
Tom, the only person that wants a crowd wherever he goes.
Yeah, there'll be, what, 25,000 there? Easy. Still be a light crowd. You don't have any trouble getting around.
I think it'll be more than that. Mm. Yeah. All those Western alum, they're going to come out of the woodwork.
Okay, I'd say 40 at the most.
They got to beat Toledo first, right?
Whatever.
Never know with the Rockets.
No, I'm happy for them. Actually, that's a great story. And I see where they're trying to raise money to keep P.J. Fleck as if.
Good luck.
Alumni are coming up with enough to double his salary to $1.6 million. I don't think so.
Enough. Not enough.
Not enough.
Let me ask you this out of the blue. Do you think he'll go to Texas? Any chance of that?
No.
Why not?
I don't see it.
Tom Herman. Because Texas has already messed up that hire twice now.
I know, but PJ, man.
All right. We got Mark Maz. Jay, I'm Drew. It's Drew and Mike Podcast. And Chris Spielman is going to join us in minutes, which is always a huge highlight on this November 22nd, which is
the day the president passed.
Yeah. JFK shot on this day. Let's see. That's 53 years ago.
Remarkable.
Unbelievable. And I just was reading about this movie Zapruder that's coming out.
Oh, wow.
About Abraham Zapruder.
I'll definitely go to that.
Yeah. You know, it sounds, if you read about it, you go, oh, that could be a really kind of a clinical movie because it's sort of about the 26-second clip he shot at Dealey Plaza. But actually, when you get into it, it's a pretty fascinating story. I mean, this guy became defined by this stupid movie he shot. He just happened to capture the president getting shot.
I watch everything on JFK. If I see JFK, I watch it. I tape it. I watch it.
Well,
there are other videos that were shot that day. Other, you know, reel-to-reels. I mean, whatever you call them.
With JFK, it's either about assassination, pussy, incredibly scary moments in the country's history. We're almost on the brink of nuclear devastation.
Strange pieces of ass.
Strange pieces of ass every day to relieve headaches.
Marilyn.
The women. The guys all banging each other's women. I mean, Robert was banging Jackie.
Peter Lawford.
Yeah, the Rat Pack. Marilyn. Happy birthday. Frankie. Happy birthday. That's why you love him so much. The happy birthday from Marilyn Monroe.
That's right.
That dress just went on sale, by the way.
Again? Wow.
Yeah, someone paid
$100. It's always on sale.
I know. Nobody wants that.
They sewed that on her. That had to be sewn on her.
Do you think it was tight enough?
Oh, my God. Yeah, they literally, to finish getting it on her, they had to sew it on her.
How ridiculous. You got to have a seamstress present because your dress is so tight, it has to be sewn on.
She rocked the house that night.
Yeah, she did. She rocked him, too.
What a woman.
Rock the house. That's awesome.
I got a few minutes for Tilsa Spielman. Someone we must find. This is the absolute priority. There's a guy who, it's unclear how he does this. I'll just show you the picture so you can be blown away. He sticks a light bulb in his ass and a wet finger in a socket.
Yeah.
And makes the light bulb go off.
Really?
And there he is with light bulb coming out of his ass.
Just like, how does he do that?
Just like Uncle Fester.
What, he swallow like an extension cord?
You're asking me?
What's the science behind that?
There doesn't seem to be any science in the story. And how this guy figured this out, too.
Maybe it's one that lights up.
Maybe if I wet my finger before I put it in the socket.
Maybe he's pulling the wool over our eyes here, and that thing lights up automatically.
It's like David Blaine. It sounds like Blaine's next trick.
I told you I peed next to him, didn't I?
David Blaine?
Yeah.
Where?
Last summer. I was in New York. Obviously, I go to visit my family.
And don't need the whole backstory,
my brother-in-law took me to his favorite restaurant, The Palm. And David Blaine was there. It was late at night.
Not Jermaine, but okay. You're at a restaurant in California, and Blaine's there.
No, but it was late at night, and everyone was almost gone except just a few people. And I went upstairs. They had to go upstairs. It's an old restaurant, and to take a whiz. And before you know it, this guy comes up and he pees next to me.
Did he go, "How are you doing?"
I didn't know who he was until I went downstairs and they said, "You know who you just went in the bathroom with?"
I hope you had a hell of a piss.
And they told me it was David Blaine.
And then they went, ta-da!
Did you take note of his dong?
I didn't. I didn't look over.
That story's awful.
That really is. It really gets weaker as it goes along.
It's over. I peed next to David Blaine.
You didn't know it was him?
No, I didn't know it was him.
Did you know who David Blaine was after they told you?
Oh, yeah.
Ta-da,
you might as well have taken a dump next to him because you didn't deserve anything.
Now, look, I think I told you guys this. It was the same night that Allison Williams was in that restaurant, and I noticed her right away.
Yeah.
Brian Williams' daughter.
The girls.
Right, yeah.
And, of course, I'm taken aback by her.
Okay.
Is that why you had to go to the bathroom?
No, it was the end of the night.
Asked David Blaine to do a magic trick for you.
Oh, I wish he magically hooked me up with Allison Williams.
Jeez.
My wife wouldn't have minded.
Is she on your five?
She could be.
And while we're killing another minute, there's another funny story, sort of along the same lines, but not really. A Seattle morning anchor named Casey Atchison, and she's trying out this new Google experiment. It's this board, and you could draw on it, and they asked her to draw this cannon for some reason. I have no idea. But anyway, she ends up drawing what looks like a penis, the whole set just busts out.
Really?
Yeah.
The minute you said it, I knew what she drew.
She tries to erase it with her hand, which is not possible.
Oh, my God. Look at that thing.
It doesn't look like a cannon. She knew what she was doing.
Look at that.
She looks happy about it.
That really is a funny moment. By the way, thanks to Jay for bringing all the food today. Jay refilled the green room.
Stock. Jay and Maz brought lunch today.
I brought crap lunch.
You brought two pizzas.
Yeah, but Jay really trumped me.
But I was totally full by the time Jay got here with his deluxe lunch.
He's got his pasta. He got his chicken.
Tom showed up with Little Caesars, and Jay trumped that with Pizza Hut. That's not the biggest trump.
Yeah, but he brought...
And he brought Vienna Fingers and Milano's. Oh, my God. This is better than a Thanksgiving dinner to me.
As always, remembers to bring up the important things on the podcast.
I know.
I just wanted to tell
people. It's very nice.
I wanted to thank Jay.
No, I'd like to thank both of you for bringing food. That's very nice. Yes.
Mark already went into his Nantucket cookies.
I know.
Pepperidge Farm.
Canada has repealed its anal sex ban.
What?
That also I didn't know
they had one.
Apparently they did. Yeah. Well, this is actually Canada's Liberal government said it will repeal a section of the criminal code that effectively bans anal intercourse for 16 and 17-year-olds, which is now viewed as infringing on the rights of gays and other sexual minorities.
Oh, so you were allowed to do it if you were over 18?
Apparently.
Can you imagine, like, somebody sitting there waiting for the clock to flip so they could finally indulge?
Finally, boo-foo?
Anal sex, yeah.
How did they catch you?
Possible.
That's what I want to know.
By how you walked, I guess.
Oh.
Oh, come on. The joke was lame, but it was a little better than the response you guys gave.
It gave an answer to a question that I don't know how you would answer that question.
Well, you can't.
I just want to know, why is there a rule? I mean, how's there a law? How do you know?
Some people just... I don't know. You don't
have
know.
Nothing
you don't
else
know.
To do.
How do they know if you're having sex? How do they know if you're having sex with an underage woman? They don't know. Somebody tells them.
By the way, the palace will be officially... we'll say goodbye to the palace coming up here pretty soon, right? 3 o'clock?
3 o'clock, which is about an hour away on this podcast, and we should...
You gotta knock it down!
I don't understand that segue.
Well, I didn't understand it either.
I wanted to mention that we were going to carry the press conference.
We're going to carry the press conference?
Yeah, I made a PD.
Well, I don't know. We're going to turn the TV on at 3 o'clock.
You don't want to hear?
I missed some pre-show meeting.
You don't want to hear Illich and Gorsuch?
There was no pre-show meeting.
Okay, honestly, what
I just happened to mention at some point that, at 3 o'clock, we might as well just pick up the... Turn the TV on.
I was excited about that.
I know, but what are they going to add that we don't already know? Everything always leaks so early now.
No, there'll be nothing. There'll be literally nothing new. Yeah, we got to call Spielmonster.
I believe he's on the phone now.
Oh,
he's coming in now.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's coming in now.
Do-do-do-do-do.
Is this Chris?
Hey, how are you?
How you doing, Chris?
Hey,
we got
Chris.
Drew and Maz and Mark.
Hey, Chris.
Hey,
buddy.
Great.
Hey, this is a weird place to start, but I was just looking at your bodybuilder wife online.
Yeah.
My God, Chris, a bodybuilder. What is it? You guys work out together?
Yeah, we're actually taking a break right now. She's in there. It's interesting, you know, when I never thought I'd get remarried again. And when I met Carrie, just found so many interest in same things, and so really, I only liked probably two girls in my life that I wasn't related to. That was Steph and Carrie, because I really don't have a lot in common with girls, so I married them. Just kidding, but somewhat, yeah. Am I? Who knows? All right.
You are one of a kind, man.
You were one for one with a good, with a great one first there, Chris.
Yeah, well, I mean, Stephanie was, you know, I don't know if you guys know this, but Saturday was the 7th anniversary of Stephanie going home. And so, you know, I've been lucky. Stephanie always encouraged me to find somebody else and get married again. And I said, are you crazy? But like always, she knew best. And so she was very wise.
Well, I got to tell you, your new wife looks like she could kick my ass.
No question. Probably could.
Yeah.
If I remember you right, Drew. If you got the high top Converse on, she probably think you were in.
Yeah, it didn't do much for my posture. That's for sure. Yeah, that's fantastic. And your daughter, I see, has a radio job in sports.
Oh,
sports
no.
Station.
And brand new.
It's, she's kind of just, you know, she pops in with headlines and stuff. And, she works with my ex-partner, Bruce Hooley. They started a news station down here in Columbus. And she also does Time Warner Sports. She does some sidelines for high school football. And she works at corporate headquarters for Bath and Body Works. I said, boy, it's tough being off dad's scholarship, isn't it? Yeah. It's three jobs.
She's on her own.
Play ball.
So you got all those.
She's doing well.
You got all those type A kids running around now like crazy because your son, and you told us about this when he gave up his scholarship to go, and certainly he's a very passionate kid, but he sounds like he's doing great at Wheaton College.
Yeah, he's doing great. I have a stepdaughter, 17. I have a stepdaughter, 15, a daughter, 15, and a daughter, 14. Ooh, so I'm surrounded by girls. So I have, like they do around college campuses now, I have like a quiet room or
safe
a padded room or where I can go pet a dog or, yeah, safe space. I got safe space.
You're in there playing with Play-Doh and coloring books. Yeah.
Is that Michigan? Is that where they got the crayons going?
Might be one of them.
You might as well be.
Okay. Yeah. But anyway, I have a crayon room and a safe space and a padded room.
Oh, that is a lot of estrogen to be around.
Yeah, well, it is. And, they're all great girls, and actually my 15-year-old daughter was offered a full scholarship to Miami this summer for basketball, and she's a sophomore, so she's going to, in 3 years, go to Miami of Ohio and play basketball. So,
oh, nice. You know, I got to say, Chris...
She's off the books. Yeah. Unless she transfers books. Like Noah, that I thought he was off the books. He put me on the books.
Yeah, that was a great story about it. You kind of challenged him because, you know, you wanted to make sure he was sincere. And when he looked you in the face and said, look, Dad, I'm not you. Football isn't everything to me. That was really classic.
Well, it showed me that, you know, he was very sincere and, that I did a good job and Stephanie did a good job of raising him. And that, you know, stand up for what you want and what you believe in. And, you know, if you want something, then, you know, I know that he has a lot of respect for me and I know that he didn't want to let me down or disappoint me. So he had to stand up for what he believed in, and he did. And I said, okay, you're in. Let's go.
I got to say, is Chris the only person we interview where we actually talk about important, real, serious things?
Yeah, you're not kidding. You really come back
like
down to earth.
Rooms or what?
Oh, man.
How are you digging the college, the pro game now? You're doing Fox, obviously.
Yeah, I
went over.
I don't think I'm going to, I don't know. I'm going to probably make a strong play to stay in the NFL. I think I.
Look at that.
I enjoy the game.
It's great.
I know the game better. And they're not 4 hours and 20 minutes. They're 3 hours long.
Yeah.
So that's, and I enjoy it. I know I work with great people and,
you and Charles Davis.
And I certainly did. Yeah.
You and Charles Davis have a great rapport. I mean, phenomenal. I know you're working with Tom Brenneman this week. You got the Niners and the Dolphins on Fox, but the Thanksgiving Day game is coming up here in Detroit. You played in quite a few of those.
Right. Well, first of all, with Charles, I mean, we're probably, the reason for the rapport in the booth is because of the respect and friendship out of the booth. You know, Charles is one of those guys that when I first met, actually in Arizona in week two, he started talking, and you know, it's like I've known the guy my whole life. It's just one of those instances. I don't know if you guys met people where you have immediate connection with them, and that's that was the case with Charles. And so, and speaking of the Thanksgiving game, yeah, it's for first place. And the Vikings coming into town against the Lions. So I'm torn, man.
Oh, that's right,
say,
your brother.
Blood's a little thicker than Honolulu Blue and Silver. Only for this week, I guess.
Are you going to be here?
We'll see.
Are you coming to town?
Well, I actually got to work. So, as you mentioned, that I have the Miami and San Francisco game. So we'll see how that works out. But I would like to be there.
Do you find it hard covering the Vikings sometimes because of Rick?
I did the Vikings-Washington game. No, I don't, because, you know, I really sign my name to what I do and everything that I do. And so I consider myself a professional, and if anything, I'm probably a little bit more critical on the Vikings than anybody else without knowing. But I think I'm very fair, and if I have turmoil inside, I certainly don't bring it out in the air.
Are you guys competitive, you and your brother?
I think competitive. Yeah, if there's only two of us, and, you know, he has that big brother pride, but I'll tell you how competitive he is with me. At Stephanie's calling hours, I don't know, it was just a line of people forever, and I think it was about 7 or 8 hours. Wow. And so, you know, just to make things fun, or not fun, I wouldn't say that's the exact, tolerable, you know, I wouldn't go to the bathroom or get something to eat and just stand there, because I was testing him for the bathroom or get something to eat. And he didn't leave my side. Even if I went to, like, fake sit down, I wanted to see if his rear end hit the couch and say, "You sat down before I..." So is that competitive?
That's really funny.
I guess we are.
Well, your book, you talk about how you competed with yourself, you know, with your workouts and stuff. Yeah. And I laughed. I just thought that was so funny. I mean, I don't know how many guys are like that, Chris. You're really competitive. Yeah,
well, probably not a lot, which is probably a good thing, but... You know, it worked for me. I had my way and my code and what I thought was the right way, and it worked for me. It doesn't mean it works for everybody, but that worked for me.
No, I loved it. It's inspiring, actually, because, you know, I try to be competitive, too, and it's good to see other people are doing it. It makes you say, well, maybe I should...
Nothing wrong with it.
Pitch it up a little
Competition's
bit.
Competition's fine. I mean, you know, it's... I think it's good to feel failure. It's good to lose, and... You know, I talk to my kids about this all the time. You know, how are you going to respond to failure? How are you going to respond to missing a shot with my daughter, or, you know, Noah missing a sack in a playoff game, whatever the case may be? How do you respond? You know, does that hang over you, or do you just forget about it? And the whole thing I talk to them is about not being afraid to lose. You know, some people in this world are afraid to lose, and
they never take a chance.
Yeah, and so it's that Theodore Roosevelt quote, you know, "Dare greatly so you're never amongst those cold, timid souls that don't know the difference between victory or defeat." And I couldn't imagine myself living my life that way.
I got to write this stuff down, Chris.
That is good stuff. what were some of the lines you and Spindler used to do, come up with? You guys had some great sayings.
I that might be my CTE setting in. Hell, I don't remember. I don't know. there's a line for you.
There you go.
I'm just finished watching Troy on the treadmill, and then I guess the only line, is there anyone else? I have no king. There you go.
Hey, Chris, you mentioned earlier about the long college games, and I'm finding myself as a viewer, not just of football, but baseball, and primarily college football, I guess, and baseball, with all these reviews and timeouts, I find myself really getting kind of, not bored, but I feel like this game is really dragging sometimes. Did you get that feeling about college football when you mentioned games were going so long?
No, you know, I'm a capitalist, so I understand sponsors and advertising, and I certainly want that because that's how I get paid to do my job. I just think, you know, with the college game, there's a little bit more. The half times are longer. You know, what is it, Matt? 12 minutes for an NFL halftime?
Yep, they want to knock it down to 10 minutes now. That's their latest thing.
So,
wow.
Yeah, so, you know, I think that cuts out a lot. And so, I mean, I get it. It's just, I like, I guess my biggest motivation is I want to get home, man. You know, I've been on the road.
We all do.
I have to game down so I can get home.
Yeah, we all do.
Yeah. Exactly. So,
do you think the quality of the NFL is kind of lacking or weighed down? A lot of people like to say that, the quality of games.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. I mean, I think they're the best players in the world at what they do. You know, they might not have good teams, but still great players.
What about the idea?
Well, here's an example. 74% of the games are decided in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
100% of the line games.
Yeah.
Lions have been behind in every game in the fourth quarter.
I mean, you know, you're playing a 2-win team against Jacksonville, and Lions find a way to win, but it's still a competitive game. You know, it'd be like, you know, a 5-4 team or a mid-level team playing the 130th ranked team in college football. There's no chance. In the NFL, every week, everybody has a chance. That's what I like about it.
How about these kickers kind of losing games for, you know, you bust your balls as much as you can, and the kickers are losing the game. Is that gonna affect the team?
I don't know. I hate kickers. I got nothing
exactly.
to
do. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. What do I know about kickers?
But you had Jason Hansen. You had Hansen.
I love Jason. He's the exception.
Exactly.
He was great.
There.
He was the best.
I mean, you know, they get paid to kick the ball. That's all you got to do. Just make it. You know? And that's just part of it. I've come to learn to live with that pain of being a teammate of a kicker. There you go.
Yeah. Okay.
Would you like to see the NFL kind of lessen back on, say, celebration penalties or taunting penalties and maybe bring some of the characters back into it?
Could care less one way or another.
Yeah, I'm with
you.
To
be honest with you. I don't know. I don't pay attention to it when they did it, and I don't pay attention to it when they didn't do it. So I hate to give you a short answer. I'm just trying to get as honest with you as I can.
Yeah. No, we'll get to more things that way. That's fine.
Guy can do backflips or the guy just can't call the official. I could care less.
Plus, your wife's going to kick your ass if you don't get back in there soon anyway.
That's right.
Yeah,
no BS, please.
Hey, get lower on those squats.
Chris, how about Jim Harbaugh? You guys seem like you would be peas in a pod, you know, when I look at your personalities and how intense you are. But you played against him, didn't you?
Yeah. Great competitor, man. That's what I love about him. He's a competitive dude. Was his player and certainly is as a coach. I think he's a great coach.
Are you guys friends?
No.
No.
Acquaintances. I mean, when I did games, you know, he was very nice and cordial. You know, wouldn't let me go to practice, but didn't let anybody go, unless you're a Michigan guy.
Well, you had two famous matchups as a player in the Michigan-Ohio State game, because 86 was his guarantee and 87 was the Earl game.
Yeah.
Well,
Jim wasn't there in 87. The 86...
Oh, that's right. That's right. 86 was his last.
Yeah, was the guarantee, but, you know, I guarantee you that... the world's going to end tomorrow. Well, there's no consequence if I'm wrong. If I'm right, I'm a freaking genius. You know,
and no one's going to know.
He had a 50-50 shot.
It's easy to make a guarantee. You know, what do you have to lose if you make a guarantee? What if so? A 21-year-old guy makes a guarantee that I guarantee you we're going to win. Okay, well, we won, so great, because we missed the damn field goal.
See, I always...
You know, I had nothing to do with guarantee.
As the damn over again.
He had nothing to lose. Jim was so confident. He played his ass off. You know, Jim was great.
Refresh my memory on the game.
He should have won that guarantee. I'm not done talking. All right, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you mentioned a field goal. Did you guys miss a late field goal in that game?
Yeah.
How long?
I left 46 yards.
Oh.
Who was the kicker?
Ouch.
I don't know. That's broaching the kicker subject again.
I thought you might be stuck in your head somehow.
Yeah, it is, but I don't know.
Hey, what the other thing that's
interesting? It wasn't Jason Hansen because
no,
he would have made
that's
it.
A fact. Well,
the other thing that's interesting about that game is I believe that was Urban's first year at Ohio State as a grad assistant. What was Urban like as a grad assistant?
Same way.
Same, yeah, intense.
Like he and Jim are very similar personalities. Just ultra competitive and want to win, and I think we'll do prepare and try to outwork each other. And that's, you know, I think that's why both schools and programs are so successful.
Everything about you, Chris, says coach. I mean, you're so intense. It just seems like you'd be a coach. I mean, I'm glad you're not because I love what you're doing.
Much work.
Do you have an inkling to coach? I know you coached arena football 1 year.
No. Yeah, I was 2-14. How'd that work out? I got too many kids, man.
Yeah.
They're all over the place. I got dates and four girls, 17, 15, 15, 14 at home. My only hope every day I wake up is at least three or four are happy. Mm. And that's rare. Because I guarantee you there's something going on.
How's a football player have so much damn perspective, for Christ's sake?
for God's sakes, I don't know. For me, when being real serious, I mean, when you lose or have loss in your life, and believe me, I'm not the only one who's had tough loss in their life. You sit back and you enjoy each day, and you know, I know it's cliche, but cliches are truth a lot of times. And in this case, you just kind of go one day at a time, and you don't let the highs get too high and the lows get too low, and you enjoy the little things. And I've been able to do that.
No, you're tossing out some great one-liners here, and I know you're being serious, but you know, when you say, I hope three or four of them are happy, that's a great way of putting it.
It's a fact, too.
Yeah, well, if they're girls, they're 17,
yep.
15, 15, 15, I mean, there's always something going on.
No,
you know,
doubt.
There's drama with friends or boyfriends or, you know, I just, you know, I here's the thing I've learned about with girls is that it's really important to, before you have a conversation with them, is acknowledge how they're feeling. And if you acknowledge how they're feeling, then you come about it. And I never do this. I never say, you've got to do this. You've got to do this. Here's my approach. Look, I understand where you're coming from, but I want you to think about this approach, because I think if you think about this, it'll give you a different perspective. And then I know that once you have this information, you'll be able to make a right decision, wherever that is. And when you approach it like that, I'm not always trying to be right with them. What I'm always trying to do is get the result that I want from them. And it's all about how I approach it and let them feel, just by hearing the information, give them a chance to process the information, they usually make the right decisions.
See, he is a coach. He's just a coach in his house.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, girls are a different beast, man. I had four sisters and three daughters. I've had nothing but estrogen in my life, and there's a way to go about things.
Yeah. It seems to work. Now with Noah, just do this. There, it's over.
All right, Chris, they're going to kill us if we don't ask you about the Wolverines and the Buckeyes Saturday. What do you say?
I think it's I think that because of the playoff, and people thought, oh, that would ruin rivalries and tradition, I think it's enhanced it. Mm-hmm. Just awesome.
Yeah.
The matchup that we have and what's on the line and the two coaches that we have. It's just I just think it's incredible. And you have a really, really good defense with Michigan and has, I think, a ton of NFL players on there. I don't know what the scouts say, but I think they do. And in Ohio State, who just under Urban seems to
they're amazing
play pretty well in these games. So I think it's going to be one for the ages. But I just like everything that's on the line and the coaches involved. It's what college football is supposed to be, and it's what the game is supposed to be.
This rivalry is really as strong as ever, isn't it? I mean, if you look Urban and Harbaugh and these two great teams.
Yeah, and that's because Michigan is holding up its end of the bargain.
I remember
we talked a few years ago. No, I mean, that's not being mean or
it's true.
Being truthful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think for rivalries to continue, you know, both teams have to hold up their end of the bargain, just like when Michigan was winning all those games. Ohio State wasn't holding up its end of the bargain. So when you have two great teams doing it, that's what you get, this type of game with this much on the line.
What was the last Michigan-Ohio State game you actually attended in person? Because you've been doing other college
games. I've done a couple of them.
Okay.
I've done the last one I did was a couple years ago, maybe. I did one in 2011.
Oh.
That was I've probably a good done one. Two or three of them. So, I don't know. They all run together. CTE. There you go.
Hey, other than the Earl game, do you have a favorite Michigan-Ohio State game? I'm assuming that's your favorite one.
Yeah, that's my favorite. I've said this before, and, you know, I enjoyed every game that I played in. And not that the Ohio State-Michigan game wasn't special, because it was, but for me, you know, I always considered it a privilege to be an Ohio State Buckeye and a privilege to be an NFL player. I never considered it a privilege for Ohio State to have me play for them, a privilege for the NFL to have me be a part of that. And so with that perspective, I enjoyed every moment of it, man. I really did.
That 91 Lions team, and I keep going back to that team, and they had the 25th anniversary of it this year. Yeah. And now here they are on the top of the Central. Maybe they can close it out. Top of the North. They've never won the division as an NFC North team. They won one as a Central team. You were there. That team, man. I mean, we talked to a blue in their face here in Detroit. That was a Super Bowl team. They should have been a couple of runs into the Super Bowl.
It wasn't a Super Bowl team because we got our ass handed to us by the Redskins.
I know, Redskins. I know.
Our ass by about 50 down there.
I know.
I kept calling timeout before the game was over. It was a great team. Great players. And, you know, if you remember, I think the following year, that's when we had a little tragedy hit where Eric Emelsek was tragically killed. Lenny, our Fonts, Wayne's brother, died suddenly. I had a heart attack. So, you know, just we had a good run. We had a good run that year. 92, we didn't bounce back. 93, I thought we had a really good team in 93. That's when we had Broderick Thomas and Swilling and a couple other guys. And 94, then we couldn't get out of the first round, you know. But it was great. Like I said, man, every day was a privilege. I was happy to be a part of it. And, you know, life doesn't stop, though. I'm on to the next adventure. What's going on? So that's kind of how I approach it.
Well, hey, Chris, it's great to talk to you. I know you're a busy guy. There's always something memorable. You ought to be doing a lot of public speaking. I don't know how much if you do any of that, but you really should. You are always inspirational, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Well, thank you, guys. Yeah, I actually, that's another job I have. I do about 15 a year, so
nice.
It's a lot of fun.
Well,
okay, gang.
Great talking to you.
Thanks, Chris.
The wife's calling you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
See you, man.
Kick your ass.
Bye-bye.
He's the best.
I love him.
He's the best.
I love him.
Great guy.
I swear to God, I felt like I should have written down about 6 things he said. You're like, something I'm going to sign my name to?
Yep.
They just spill out of him.
You know what? I read something from J.J. Watt earlier today, and it was kind of like what Chris was saying. They were asking him about, you know, his high point and his low point. And his obviously high point is when he was Defensive Player of the Year. His low point is
now.
But he's like, you know what? I wouldn't give it up to be in the middle. I either want to be high or I want to be low. These guys have a different mentality than us average Joes.
I think most people would say that, though, wouldn't they?
I think a lot of people like to play the middle.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I know a lot of people that like being
Except
in the middle.
His low is pretty good. I mean,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Still, J.J. Watt makes a ton of money.
Yeah, I know that. I know. But it's a different mentality, man. Those guys.
I just mean his highs are so huge that it really raises the bar on his lows.
I just love. Chris says so many things that are meaningful. And, you know, we talked about losing. It's not bad for you. It's the thing that I think about losing is if you're never losing, you're never playing. You're not in a ring, obviously. You're not competing.
Yep.
So I understood what he's saying. I just think he's the coolest guy. He's so got his head on
straight. My favorite football player of all time.
To think a football player can speak as – he's just so concise, and he just hits it on the head. I just think he's fantastic.
Why the hell did he have to go to Ohio State?
Ah, he wanted to go to Michigan.
His dad made him. I know. He wanted to go to Michigan.
Yep.
I know one thing about Chris. We'll never see him on Dancing with the Stars. That will not happen.
You're probably right about that. By the way, Calvin's in the finals.
I know. I was just looking at the headline.
Really?
Yeah.
Megatron waltzes into dancing finale. Oh, and I watched it this morning.
It's
just
him.
Just because it's Calvin. Otherwise, I wouldn't pay any attention to
he's
it.
He's pretty good.
And I'm serious. I think he would be happier if he had started dancing 10 years ago and just blown off the NFL. I think he loves what he's doing.
I've always wanted the Lions to do well and win playoff games. I would never want it more than this year now that he left to go dance.
I think they got a better shot than they've had in a few years, honestly.
What? He'd be happy for them. He's that kind of guy.
No, he's a good guy.
Oh, sure, he's a great guy.
You know, they brought out his little kid. He was bawling. I mean, it's like, I've never seen him so emotional. I've never seen him so happy. They always talk about how his great smile and, you know.
He's not injured anymore. He's not sore. He's like, I can tie my shoes. I can walk.
I can dance.
He's like, I can lift my kid.
I can dance.
I can lift my kid up.
Hit the floor. No, he's a dancing machine.
Who else is in the finals?
He's cranking.
James Hinchcliffe, the Indy driver.
Who?
James Hinchcliffe.
Oh, okay.
And the little gymnast from Jersey.
Oh, all athletes?
Yeah. Three athletes have made it.
There's a little gymnast from Jersey.
But Calvin's
I forgot her name.
Calvin is the happiest. He's enjoying it.
Calvin's the happiest.
He is. No, he loves it. He was born to dance. I'm expecting him to say that one of these days. I wish I hadn't played football. I was born to dance.
Maybe he can go tour with them. Don't they do a little tour?
Yeah, they do. I'm telling you, he'll be the headliner because he loves dancing.
Emmett Smith, he's a champ on Dancing with the Stars. Hines Ward. Did Jerry Rice make it to the finals? I think he did.
Yeah.
A lot of good football players.
I think those guys liked it. I don't think they love it. I don't think they were born to do it like Calvin was. Calvin, it's just dancing is his thing.
And he's so big and his partner is so little. It's extra hard for him to do it.
Man,
yes.
Are you analyzing?
I was.
Dancing?
I was. 10!
I agree!
I was Len Goodman. Len Goodman for a second.
He got an 8 from somebody on his first round. An 8 and 3 9s. He was upset, I could
gave
tell.
Gave him an 8.
Because nothing he takes more seriously than his dancing.
Don't fool me.
We're about a half hour away from the press conference.
Are there any scores in progress I can give right now?
No, but I got a lot of email. People really appreciated that.
That's good.
They kind of backtracked into the game.
Awesome.
Mark, what's in your mind today?
Nothing. I'm just totally focused on Saturday. I can't read enough about this game. I can't read enough about 06 because it's the 10-year anniversary.
Great special.
I
know,
this game sounds ridiculous, but this game just means so much to me every year. Isn't that stupid?
No, I know what you mean. It's exciting. It's... You know, I remember when my Hokies were getting in those big bowl games and stuff, or, you know, were hoping to. It was like, I couldn't wait till Saturday. It was really fun.
I was born in Columbus. My dad was an Ohio State fan. I grew up that way. I've been to Columbus as both a Buckeye fan and a Michigan fan. Obviously, that all switched when I went to school there. I don't know. It's when I went to school in Michigan. So, I don't know. This game is just, I've, like, been raised on this game.
Well, that's what makes it so great. I mean, I love college football season. And it's just, you know, you got 12 or 13 Saturdays in a row where there's always, you know, your team and there's probably three or four other games going that, you know, you're really looking forward to seeing. And I always feel like it's really funny. Virginia Tech plays on Thursday a lot.
Yeah.
And when they win on Thursday, I feel like, my job's done for the weekend. I can just sit back and enjoy all these other games.
See, I love, though, that it's at noon, you know, on a
the
Saturday.
That's the way it should be.
Yeah, not
never,
a night game.
It should never move from noon.
You know, the two schools are so different, maize and blue versus, you know, another primary color in red, a angular M versus a circle O, just stupid little things like that.
The game is at noon, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay. I'm looking for, I had a little stat pile.
One stadium's a hole in the ground, the other's this Gothic cathedral.
Yep, here we go. Oh, first of all, I was dying to ask Mark if he, if you read the story, because you know everything about Michigan football. Did you read the story about Cordy?
Cordy, no.
Cordy? He's the guy who carries the cord for Jim Harbaugh.
Oh, yeah.
Off on his little rants.
Who is he?
Cordy. They call him Cordy because he's the best cord guy they've ever had.
Really?
Can I ask you a stupid question, which is usual?
Why isn't it wireless?
Yeah, what am I missing?
He has used wireless before, and it breaks down, and he doesn't like that. So he wanted to go back to
wires.
Tom, look at all the problems they have in the NFL.
Well, Belichick does. Belichick does that on purpose.
Such a dick. No,
radio silence at Foxborough.
It happens in multiple stadiams.
Mostly at Foxborough.
You just hear it because people whine about it.
It's because they break into everyone's signals.
You know when a team gets
when
a team gets as hot as Michigan football has become the last couple of years since Harbaugh's come back, and people can't read enough, and people are going, God, how can I possibly write another story about Michigan football? And they come up with, hey, who's that guy that carries the cord for Harbaugh?
It's Cordy.
And sure enough, his nickname is Cordy, and his name is Sonny Anderson. UMC's equipment manager.
Wait, isn't Sonny his nickname as well? Or is that his given name?
He's not related.
Sonny, no quotes, so I don't know.
Okay.
Is Sonny related to John Falk?
Well, when they say UM equipment manager, isn't John Falk UM's equipment manager?
He is the head equipment manager.
Doesn't everyone everything go through him?
Yeah, of course.
If you ask him, yeah.
He
must have hired Cordy, knowing how good he would be with the cord.
How
he
about
must have,
that?
I bet in the interview he actually practiced. John Falk ran around with a headset and Cordy had to follow him.
And probably. Jocks.
Yeah, and then, oh, you know they had jock strap. Of course. You know that.
And then Cordy had to sit there for an hour and a half as John talked about Bo. That's all he ever talks about.
That's the main thing. If you kiss up,
I love Bo Schembechler, but I don't want to hear it from John Falk anymore because I've heard every story.
Does Cordy call Kathy Schembechler as well after every game?
That was the funniest story in the new documentary that aired last night. I'll find that part.
I just
actually
saw
any John Falk part in that documentary.
You got to bring it up.
Well, the funniest part is that they were told not to speak to the media when they got to Columbus. In other words, look, there's a game. Let's do the game, and let's worry about Bo after the game, which Bo would, of course, appreciate. And so no one, but no one, talks to the media except for one person who apparently didn't hear the edict.
He claims he didn't. He claims he didn't know. But there's a couple holes in his story, by the way, not to tear John Falk apart, but I will, because there was a hole in his story. There's a lot Tom Lydon talking about Bo passing. It's called The Game.
There's John Falk crying.
What, with no tears? All right, can you hit
that game the next day?
I'm just pointing out he had no tears. I'm sure he was.
He was out of tears, Mark.
Yeah, he cried all his tears.
Bus arrives at Ohio Stadium, and we basically got told right away that nobody's talking. The only person who stopped was John Falk.
Of course.
And John Falk was not just the equipment manager at Michigan. John Falk was one of Bo Schembechler's best friends.
He was a president of the university.
Looked around, Bo told me all the advantages to coming to Michigan. Coming back home, I thought about it. I said, you know, I don't want to leave my mother and grandmother. I'm going to not take that job. That night, I told my mom when I got home, I said, I'm not going to take the job here at Michigan. 4 o'clock in the morning, my mother woke me up.
Huh?
She says, it hurts me to tell you this, Johnny, but tomorrow, you go to Michigan because Bo Schembechler will take care of you.
What?
And he's done that for 33 years. And
did you go, Mom, why are you waking me up at 4 a.m.? Can you just tell me at 8 when we get up?
Well,
Mom woke him up at 4 a.m. to tell him that?
Can I?
He probably had to go to the bathroom.
Oh, I'm just doing a little math.
Probably, Tom. But isn't that a little weird?
It's a little odd. I don't know why you'd wake your kid up at 4 in the morning.
Maybe she shut his nightlight off.
And fuck up his sleep pattern.
Shut his night.
Johnny, I told you don't sleep with the light on.
She went back in to tuck him in again.
Yep.
Okay, wait. Can we review 33 years? So he got there in, what, 73?
74, I think, yeah.
74? Okay, Bo stopped coaching in, what, 89?
Mm-hmm.
And was with the Tigers for a couple years.
Still took care of Johnny.
Tell her to tuck you in bed.
How did he take care of John Falk when
He just did. I told you there's a couple holes in his story.
That's one of them.
Did you hear that guy laugh in the background as he's telling the story, too?
Yeah.
You heard that, Jay? Yeah, it's really weird. So then he points out, this is him at the gates when the team arrived there, but he says like he found out walking around the stadium, which why would he not have known earlier? There's a lot of holes in his story.
You seem a lot.
As I walked around the stadium, I got a phone call that Bo had passed away. And I looked around the Ohio State Stadium.
It's like the last person to know.
About all the great games that Bo had coached here. The 1976.
Who's that talking?
That's still John.
That's John?
Yeah, John today talking.
Ohio State in Columbus, Ohio. Rob Blytle and Rick Leach. We beat them 20-0. The 1986 game.
I thought he was equipment manager.
Came down here. It was the chance
proxy
to win
now.
The most games for a football coach at the University of Michigan. Jimmy Harbaugh was the quarterback.
He's the only one that calls him Jimmy Harbaugh.
He beat Ohio State 26-24.
Does he dress like Bo and try to look like Bo?
Got the glasses.
Jesus.
Bo Schembechler will take care of you. And he's done that for 33 years.
For me, being down in Columbus on Friday, at the time, I didn't know that I was the only one that had said anything.
Hey.
Now, I saw the way the team was acting when they came in, and nobody said anything, and nobody said anything when they left. But I really didn't think about that. It was just a natural thing that somebody
would. You didn't care. You put yourself ahead of the team.
He saw a camera, so he had to go talk about him.
An open microphone.
I only have one regret from that whole week of the Michigan-Ohio
State. It's not going to be breaking the rule.
The only regret that I have is I never got to tell Bo Schembechler that I loved him.
Told you, wouldn't be breaking the rule. Wait, he took care of you for 33 years never and you never told him you loved him?
Thank you.
Why?
Because John's just too tough. It's too tough an exterior.
Oh, I see.
Well, sometimes guys don't express their
not
feelings.
You.
I tell everyone. There's I another, tell you how it is.
No, I understand that, but it just for a guy who, I mean, he seems like Bo Shemba.
Took care of him for 33 years.
It's a cottage industry to him as well. He's writing written two books, which are basically based on the fact that he calls himself, and many refer to him as almost like Bo's best buddy or something.
Oh, here he is again. I don't know. I have no idea what he's talking about here.
And he is wearing Bo-like glasses, by the way.
So are you in that picture behind you.
We're right there in front of us.
Lloyd was great.
Not like Bo's.
Yeah, you look like Bo in that picture. Yes, you do.
Lloyd, you never referenced
take a picture and put it
Bo's
up.
Death. He didn't say we're going to go out and win one for Bo or do this for Bo. He never brought that in because he said that wouldn't serve Bo justice.
But I said it.
My job was, as best I could, keep my team focused on that game. There would be time to mourn, eulogize, and to honor Bo. But for the immediate hours before that game, the job was to get ready to play.
Ohio State has lost an alumnus in France.
He talks about the penalty, too, that Crable hit, which I still think is a weak penalty. Definitely was the end of the game.
You know, I watched it last night. For some reason, I thought it was a much weaker hit when I originally saw it. I don't know why. It seemed like a harder hit.
He knocked the crap out of him. It was helmet to helmet. It certainly wasn't late, though, but that was the ball game. But I like Lloyd's response. He's like, that official that made that call. He was a very good official. That's all he would say. You can still tell it. It burned his ass, and it should.
And you know the Big Ten with having the number 2 and the number 3, and then also
5 and
Wisconsin
8.
Is 5.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first time since 1960 the Big Ten has had 3 teams in the top 5.
Yep.
Minnesota was 1, Ohio State was 3, and Iowa was 5th.
Yep.
And to have 4 in the top 8, I wonder what the record is on that. Apparently that's happened. I guess, or they'd mention it, you'd think.
Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy.
That's what happens when you win your non-conference games against good teams.
And the stats, too, between these two teams,
stats.
Amazingly close. Rushing, offense, Michigan's 10th, Ohio State is 8th. Passing, Michigan's 82nd, Ohio State's 68th. Total defense, Michigan's 1st, Ohio State's 4th. Rushing defense, 10th and 18th. Passing, yards allowed, 1st and 3rd. Third down percentage, Michigan 1st, Ohio State 7th. Tackles for loss, Michigan's 1st, Ohio State's 30th. Turnover margin, Michigan's 15th, and Ohio State is 4th. And then special teams are actually Michigan's way behind on kick returns, but, you know, they probably broke a couple or broke one. And kickoff return defense, actually Michigan's
a lot.
Special teams are not that great, according to the
no.
numbers.
No, well.
Or net punting isn't that good either. Ohio State's numbers
punting.
Are pretty high.
Or punt return.
Net punting, yeah. 83rd, 36.41. Ohio State's 5th, 42.18.
The advanced metrics really like not in the beginning of the year, but their special teams have gotten a lot better now that Kenny Allen's making field goals. It's going to come down to two things. When Michigan has the ball, it's going to come down to whatever quarterback's in there, be it Spade or Corn, if they can hit a long pass against probably, I even think they're better than Michigan's defensive backs. I think Ohio State's back seven is really strong, so it's going to come down to that. When Ohio State has the ball, it's going to come down to whether or not Curtis Samuel can get around the edge.
Who's playing quarterback in this game for Michigan?
It should be Jabril Peppers. It really should be.
I'm sure he'll get some snaps. I don't know. I told you before, the word that I hear is that Spade is 50-50. That's from a very good source.
I think he'll play that if it's really 50-50.
Yeah, I haven't heard about practice yet. And what's been going on. But you got to believe if he's taking snaps in practice, he's starting.
We're about 20 minutes away from the Pistons press conference.
Do you want another piece of John Falk?
Oh, I'd love John Falk.
Why not?
By the way, Braylon Edwards wrote us back. He'll come on anytime we want.
Oh, cool.
All right.
He couldn't do it yesterday. He apologized.
If I probably would have done a better
Woodley
job
talking.
Leading my team, then we'd been playing for a national championship.
I always had a habit of after every football game, no matter where it was, home or away, I'd always call Bo and ask Bo what he thought about the game.
Bo was probably so bummed when the game ended.
I'm with Kathy.
Bo's wife, she saw John. I've been waiting for your call. because I know you called Bo after every game. And she says, and I want you to do this for me from now on. After every Michigan football game, will you call me and talk to me just like you used to do, Bo? And I said, sure, Kathy, I'll do that for you.
Did they verify that?
Do you think he still does?
I hope not.
I mean, God bless her if it's 24, you know, or a few days after a day after her husband dies, she's sitting around waiting for John Falk's call.
I doubt it.
I think she might have been focused on other things.
Maybe she liked John.
Oh, I'm sure she did. Yeah. She wouldn't ask him to call him after every game.
Maybe he comforted her.
Whatever.
Maybe he
don't care.
You can't deal. You don't have that kind of feeling. See,
Tom, I want you to call me after every game.
I don't think she needs John Falk to comfort her. I just don't. I could be wrong. I hope I am wrong. I hope she gets great comfort from John Falk.
Wrong.
Use the Chris logic. Identify the feeling.
That's right. You need to know the feelings of the woman before you make your move.
I mentioned
non-move.
Earlier today is November the 22nd. Just to break away from all this activity in the world of sports for a minute, Maz, I actually include something in Today in Rock just for you.
Oh,
I know. I know you're going to love it.
I love it.
Oh, except I lost it. There was a page in my
No! Oh, don't lose it.
No!
Please, no.
Could it be?
In the meantime, Tom, whose birthday is it today?
It's Marilyn Monroe's. By the way, can I interrupt you for just
a
second?
Marilyn Monroe's birthday?
Yeah. Let me interrupt you for just a second while you're looking. You have your Bob Dylan shirt on today.
Yes.
On my way here, I hear one of my favorite bands that I really didn't know was my favorite band, the Traveling Wilburys.
Oh, they're awesome.
And wasn't Bob part of that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I hear a lot of Roy Orbison. What's the one I love? And it's all right.
Yeah.
What a great song. I pulled up to the Red Shovel Studios with that song playing. I had the windows down. It sounded great. What a great song. These guys, pretty good.
Tom, I did look up some birthdays for you. Ready?
Hit me.
Scarlett Johansson.
ScarJo.
Today's ScarJo's birthday, Drew.
How old is ScarJo?
Doesn't matter.
What?
It doesn't. You're right. She looks great.
She's ageless.
32. It is Oscar Pistorius' birthday, m'lady, today.
Oh, no. Is it really?
Pistorius is 30 today.
M'lady.
Oh, good for him.
Austin Romine. It's his birthday.
Oh. Tiger.
He sounded very not interested in that.
Good tiger.
All right. That's about it.
Okay. Well, I can remember my first page from memory, actually. 1957, Tom and Jerry performed on American Bandstand, played a song called Hey Schoolgirl, they would go on to become Simon and Garfunkel.
Oh.
Of course. 1965, Bob Dylan married Sarah Lowndes. He would do, many, many songs about Sarah, including Sarah, and Sad-Eyed Lady of the Lowlands, and a bunch of other ones. And she's had a couple album covers, too. They divorced in 1977. The Beatles' White Album came out on November 22nd, 1968, the first double album, the only double album, and also the only Ringo Starr credit.
Is that one of their biggest selling?
Yeah, it's albums? Their biggest selling. Yeah, that double album is the biggest selling. I don't get it. I don't see how that's possible, but
people
it is.
People love that.
Yeah, the White Album it's their most avant-garde, it's the most out there Beatle album.
It was. It was like when they really changed their music was that.
Well, Sgt. Pepper's and Revolver were. But the White Album is even more out there, but it has more good songs. It's a double album. It's got 29 songs, and there's about four or five that are throwaways, I think. George Martin used to say he should have cut that down to one album. He thought there was a lot of, I don't know if it was filler or just stuff that didn't fit together, but he thought there was one great, great album there.
But they would have later released it anyway, released all those songs anyway.
Yeah, I don't know
and
what
made
they
more
done.
Money.
They probably would have picked a few of them and put them in the next album, as bands do all the time. 1975, KC hits the top.
The Sunshine Band.
With, Get Down Tonight had just left the charts, and what was it?
Boogie Shoes?
No. Damn it. This is from memory. Wait. That's the way I like it. That's the way I like it.
Nice job.
Became number one. They're second number one in 3 months. And as KC was hitting the top, Barry Manilow's.
Yes.
I Write the Songs is released on its way
phenomenal.
To number one. Though Barry did not write it.
He didn't write I Write the Songs?
Covered a song called I Write the Songs.
Who wrote it?
How hypocritical. Tom Johnson of the Beach Boys.
Oh, well, that's good.
No, Bruce Johnson of the Beach Boys.
That's good enough for me.
1976, Jerry Lee Lewis rolled his Rolls Royce in Collegeville, Tennessee, got a DUI, which he beat somehow.
Sweet.
The Rolls Royce was totaled. And then, this is, I don't know why this hit me funny. Tony Orlando returned to the stage on this day in 1979 following a three-month self-imposed retirement. Retirement.
Retirement self-imposed?
Yes. After the death of Freddie Prinze.
What?
Chico?
I guess he and Freddie Prinze were tight.
Oh.
What was Freddie's?
Chico. Looking good.
Chico on the man.
It's not my job.
Hey, man.
I couldn't believe that Mike Clark turns out to be this big Chico and the man watcher.
I
had no idea.
Chico, don't be discouraged.
I know. That was a crazy theme song, in my opinion.
They all were back then.
Who was the man?
It was an old man. It was an old white guy.
Jack
Albertson. Jack Albertson.
Yes. Balls.
Good job.
1997, on this day, Michael Hutchins of NXS found dead in his hotel room.
Right there.
From? Tom, do you know what he died from?
Asphyxiation.
What kind?
Close.
I think he hung himself.
What was he doing?
Whacking it.
Yep, he was. You got
autoerotic asphyxiation.
Autoerotic asphyxiation.
Same as a kung fu guy.
Oh, David Carradine, you're right.
Yeah, damn right.
Wow, nice. Tom knows his autoerotic asphyxiation.
I sure do.
People.
Wow.
Yep.
That's a tight community.
I didn't even think of that.
We are Chico.
Chico.
That song. Listen to that.
Who sang this?
Jose Feliciano.
Yeah, okay.
Jay, can I get a couple more requests on today?
Oh, no.
Now what?
How about Feliz Navidad?
What? Oh, no.
No, why Feliz Navidad? What the fuck?
It was Jose Feliciano. That's all.
No, we don't need Jose Feliciano right now.
How many minutes towards how many minutes to the press conference?
11.
I'm excited.
Do you remember?
Why are you excited about the press conference? You know everything they're going to say, just as Mark pointed out.
I just want to hear them.
You just want to see what reporters are there.
I just want to see what I'm missing.
Do you remember Bob?
You're not missing anything.
Drew, do you remember Bob Rivers' parody of what song did you just want to hear?
Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad.
Police stop my car.
Police stop my car.
That's all I hear when I hear that song.
It wasn't bad.
Police stop my car.
I didn't like it at first, but then I realized it was
subtle.
A gem.
Yeah.
These people on TV opening gifts.
Police stop my car. Man, can we have to turn the TV off?
Oh, I'm sorry.
To turn your brain off a little bit?
Police stop my car.
Maz looks at the TV and sees people opening police gifts and gets excited. Car. People are opening gifts. Oh, my God. What are they getting?
By the way, the other day I was doing something and someone came up to me and made me feel like a special kid again, like you guys do. Oh, that Tom. And I had to mention how you guys make me feel like a special kid.
Good. I'm glad we make you feel special.
By the way, I put your Bo Schembechler picture up on Twitter at the Drew and Mike podcast.
I do not look like Bo Schembechler.
Yes, he does. Mark, bring it up on the screen.
I don't look anything like Bo Schembechler.
Yes, I thought it was Bo Schembechler.
Because you have headphones around your neck.
And the dark glasses. Put an M on there, and that's Bo Schembechler.
They're square. He wears square glasses. Wait, are round.
Just wait.
There has to be like five changes to the picture to make it look like Bo.
Wait till Mr. Magoo and those guys get a hold of that picture, what you're going to look like.
Great. Okay. Whatever.
As long as you're happy, Tom.
I upset Drew.
No, you didn't upset me. 2002, Ray Manzarek and Robbie Krieger announced they would tour with Stuart Copeland on drums and Ian Astbury singing as the Doors.
Really?
I saw that show. It was great.
I had no idea. I never had heard that before.
It was fantastic. We interviewed Ray not too long before it, actually. And he gave us a phenomenal. He's a cool. He gave a great interview.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I sat real close for you. Ooh.
Oh,
2003, Dave Navarro married Carmen Electra. And finally, 2004, Terry Melcher, who was the original Charles Manson target.
Oh, wow.
The producer who said, nah, I don't think so, Charlie.
Music sucks.
When the Beach Boys brought him in. Yeah, he was a guy he really wanted to kill at Roman Polanski's place. For some reason, he thought Terry Melcher was there and ended up killing everybody else. But anyway, he died of cancer in 2004. He produced the Mamas, the Papas, Paul Revere and the Raiders, Glenn Campbell, and the Byrds.
Okay.
And that's it.
By the way, Tony Paul has written that another 35 to 40 million will be added for the amendments to Little Caesars Arena. The DDA will pay it to comply with NBA standards.
So wow. It's more.
I got to upgrade it by $40 million.
What kind of stuff would that be, I wonder?
I really don't know.
Well, the locker rooms. They have to change things. Yeah
some of the sight lines.
Oh, the sight lines?
Yeah. Like in Brooklyn, where the Nets play, and then the Islanders move there, the Islanders, they have the worst seating in all of the NHL now. They want to move out again of this arena, the Barclays Center, because it's such bad. There's seats that are like dead seats. The arena.
It's so different about hockey and basketball.
It was built mainly for basketball and for concerts. So it's almost kind of quasi like Kobo, where the one end is
more heavily.
I think they just put a car up there on the one end where they do when it's not a concert. It's my understanding too. Some of the seats are shifted that way too.
Yes, they're pointing in the wrong direction.
Yeah, so when you're sitting like this, Drew, to watch out.
Oh, okay. Why do we keep getting dragged into this conversation about either the Pistons or the new arena? It seems like I can't get any conversation going without coming back to the fucking Pistons. What is it?
How many minutes for the till we?
I think we should skip the press conference. What haven't we talked about?
You're not going to hear anything new.
Okay, I apologize.
How did that happen? What happened? It's happened like three times already.
I just mentioned something. By the way, you do look like Bo Schembechler in that picture.
Tom, you know what else is going to be live at 3:00?
What?
Vin Scully getting the Presidential Medal of Honor.
Really?
Yeah, so what are you going to
watch? I knew he'd be excited about it.
Is he going to sing?
I don't care. It means nothing
to me. Is he going
to
sing Wind Beneath My Wings?
Oh, that's right.
God.
I hope he serenades Barack.
Let's see. Hope he serenades Barack Obama.
I think even Barack would get pissed. Don't play that shit around here.
It might be funny to watch it. Did you see him when he got the phone call? From
Vin?
I'm
just a broadcaster. I'm just a baseball broadcaster.
Fake.
Call baseball games.
Fake.
No, he's got a huge ego.
Massive.
That's the last thing he thinks of himself.
By the way, Vegas is going to name their hockey team today.
Man, stop it!
My bad.
Stop!
Okay, I'm sorry. I just wanted to get it out. It was stuck.
No, hold it in.
All right.
Jesus.
Probably the Desert Knights.
Who cares about fucking Vegas' hockey team? Nobody cares.
You know what I wanted to call them? The Aces.
That's relentless.
That's even less.
One day a week. That's all you can have. You can't have more than one day a week. There's no way. It'll never work.
I'm going to go out and get some fresh air. I'll be back.
Really?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Oh, God.
Is this to delay the press conference because you're so excited?
He's going to go watch it on his phone.
You can get a little air if you want.
I'm going to leave you guys alone.
I'm not telling you to.
I'm going to leave you guys alone.
You're not hurting me. I'm just trying to figure out, how does he do it? How does the subject always come back to some inane sports topic?
Because he always has his phone open to Twitter, and he just is reading the tweets.
Okay. Well, why isn't his phone open up to this? Justin Bieber, did you hear he had six chicks in his hotel suite?
Nice.
This kid gets around.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Not a thing.
Are people mad about this?
No, not really. It's just a story. He apparently made a request for female company, quote unquote, on social media.
Whores.
After a show. So six whores show up.
They have to turn their phone in at the door?
Yes, always.
Yeah.
Which, how offensive is that? How stupid would you feel if you went somewhere and someone said, we must have your phone because we're so sure that you're going to try and cash in on talking to this important person.
That is funny. They don't trust you enough that you have to turn your phone in, but they trust you enough to be there.
Yeah, but they don't want you taking pictures.
I know why, but isn't that a little insulting?
Not really. If you want to hang with Justin Bieber,
my word's not good enough. I won't take a picture, you beebs.
This thing, someone got posted by a local modeling agency, asked for eight girls to party with Bieber at a downtown Hemingway bar in the Czech capital shortly after his gig. Now, stay away from my phone.
I was going to answer your phone for you.
I'll answer it. Hey, we're broadcasting right now. What's up?
Go ahead, Mark. You can talk now.
It's kind of weird that you took a call.
I was going to take a call on Drew's phone.
Tom, this is your chance to just dump.
Who's on the phone?
It's your chance to dump out whatever you want to dump out.
Who's calling?
Okay. Anyway, to finish
what'd
the
they
Bieber.
Say?
Nothing. Oh. To finish the Bieber story, eight pretty girls for dinner and party with Justin B. It is not paid. If you're interested, message me quickly. I will let the chosen ones know the place and time. You need to be there in 1 hour. Behave well and speak English. Behave well.
Wait, you have to speak English?
Well, he's over in Spain, isn't he?
Yeah. Prague.
Oh, Prague.
I wonder if our friend Danilo went over there. Remember the guy last night that didn't like the way Drew was speaking Spanish to him?
The dumbest callback ever.
Oh, that jackass.
Sorry.
Whatever. I don't know if he'd be in Prague. But due to short notice, six girls eventually ended up in his room. And I guess Bieber put out a little video with two of the girls enjoying drinks with Biebs.
What do you think they did? He probably dressed them. It sounds like something. He certainly wasn't banging them.
You know there were absolute knockouts.
Yeah. Is that a picture of him? Is that
Bieber?
A picture of her?
Yeah, that's one of them.
Holy cow.
I know. Oh, by the way, that reminds me.
God.
Have you seen the 24-year-old chick who was knocked up by the 13-year-old high school kid and she's been charged?
We've talked about her before, yeah.
She's a fucking knockout.
Texas? Yeah, huge rack, right?
Not just the rack. Well, the rack's very nice, but she's gorgeous.
Yeah.
But, you know, I saw a couple pictures of her.
A 13-year-old's a stud.
I don't know what you can tell from a picture, but I swear I could see kind of, I don't know, there's something real immature looking about her. I don't know.
Yeah, having sex with a 13-year-old.
Yeah, probably the fact that I knew that may have impacted my opinion. You know, we haven't talked at all about the school bus thing, which is not something I would normally even bring up, except that this driver yells, "Get ready to die!"
Yeah. Are you ready to die?
He was speeding like crazy. I guess
is this guy? Do we know anything about what is going on with this dude?
It sounds like he's mentally ill.
And people knew this?
Yeah. Well, some of the kids claim they've raised concerns about him before.
Six kids are dead.
Sad.
Yep.
Worse than sad.
It's the worst story.
I gotta tell you, what the fuck is going on with people now? I mean, these guys taking planes full of 200 people down in the ocean. Ali Akbar. What the hell?
Yeah, Ali Akbar.
Ali Akbar.
That's great.
That is great. Yeah, that's why I'm going to kill 200 people right now.
That's not. Was that what this bus thing was?
No,
or
no, 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 oh. no, no.
Let me get that.
Oh, geez. Well, somebody's popular today. No wonder we never recorded this time.
We're actually recording right now.
Drew's phone never coming? Stops ringing.
You got on the phone.
Sell the phone.
Who's this? Who's calling?
Tom, any other sports stories you want to throw out there while Drew's distracted?
Well, yeah, well, the Pistons are going to move downtown.
Did you know game day is going to start 2 hours earlier on Saturday?
Is it really?
Yeah, they start at 7 o'clock.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah, for the game.
Oh, there's my phone. Sorry.
I take it they're going to be in Columbus.
Phone lines are going crazy.
Are you serious?
No, I'm just saying.
Yes, they're in Columbus.
Hey, Mark, have you listened to any of the Kanye West audio?
No. Uh-uh.
This guy is really fucked
nuts.
Up.
Yeah.
That's why Jay-Z wants nothing to do with him.
He's on a 5150 hold, which means it's basically a psychiatric thing. And one of the doctors quoted as saying that there's a psychosis going on, which means he's detached from reality. He is not in reality.
He's been detached from reality for years.
Well, I've always thought he was a kook.
Yeah.
You know, I listened to the one rant, the SNL rant,
yeah,
which was incredible.
Backstage.
Yeah,
I haven't heard the 911 call. Now, one report said he was restrained and brought. Another report said he just walked in.
No, he was restrained. He was handcuffed to a stretcher.
Yeah.
And as far as Maz is so bored, he has to look at the chicks that Bieber got.
I'm not bored. I'm just I'm listening to you and looking at the pictures. I can
multitasking
things at once.
You can't.
Not if your phone's one of them.
Go ahead.
Enjoy it.
It's okay. I'm done with it now. It's already in my mind.
The feisty Maz is into the
I
room.
I love it. It's great.
So the SNL rant was that he's got 50% more talent than the most influential people in the last 1,000 years.
Yeah.
And he mentions Picasso.
Disney.
And Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah.
And he mispronounces his name. He keeps calling him Stanley Kubrick. He doesn't know how to say Well, I'm not sure I know how to say it. Stanley Kubrick, right?
Yeah.
I think he calls him Kubrick.
Tom.
It's just bizarre. And, wait, Picasso? He mentions Ford, Pablo Escobar.
Henry Ford was one of them.
And this goes on and on and on. Stop fucking with me, because SNL wanted to change the flooring he was using for his performance.
Yeah.
That's what made him go cuckoo.
Yeah.
At this concert, he plays 4 songs, and then he rants for 40 minutes about Jay-Z, how Jay-Z didn't come and see them after Kim was robbed.
Yeah. Beyonce.
Why doesn't he come by? Why is he talking about this on a stage? What is that?
He's a wax.
He's nuts. You saw Kim she landed in New York. And
for her first appearance since she was robbed.
And then turned right around and flew back.
Yeah.
I think it's all a setup.
There's an interesting story. By the way, is it close to 3?
It's past 3.
Are we on the right channel?
I was on channel 4. That wasn't good enough for Tom. He wanted me to go to channel 2.
I want you to find it. That's all.
Well, I can't make it appear.
Well, Fox Sports 1 would be for sure, right?
Well, I would think 2 and 4
I would
and
think
7
so.
Would cover it.
Yeah.
They're not going to start right at the...
No, because there'll be bullshit the first 5 minutes. It'll be nothing but bullshit and photo ops and crap, I think. But you probably like watching that stuff.
Not really.
No? You don't like the photo op?
No. I don't like photo ops. Sure. I like getting right down to the dirty business.
Anyway, there's a story about Kim in this whole thing. You know, once you get past I'm trying to think who else was he bitching at. He was bitching at Zuckerberg, at Google, and Hillary Clinton. I'm trying to think what he said about Hillary
He's
Clinton.
He's nuts,
I know,
man.
He is nutty.
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
You still can't believe Hillary lost. You were fooled by Google and Mark Zuckerberg.
What?
He said something about how he
Because of the fake news stories?
I guess. Okay. And then he tells the press to get ready to write your passive-aggressive LeBron James racist comments. Whatever that means.
I guess it means to mention the word posse.
Get ready to have a field day.
You know what?
I hate that, by the way.
Do you know that story, Drew?
Story's horrible.
The story about
LeBron James's posse?
Yes. Phil Jackson?
Posse?
Yeah, his book.
I've never taken that to be a racist term.
I thought it just meant a group of people who are probably your friends.
What do you want them to call a gang?
For you. There are people that are always around you, pretty much.
I don't know. That
his followers?
That's the ultimate point there. How do you describe a group of hanger-ons? Or are you not allowed to say hanger-ons?
Well, hanger-ons is more offensive to me than posse.
Yeah.
What does posse mean? That doesn't even mean anything to me.
I thought it was like an old Western term. It was a Western gang, a posse.
Well, let's get the actual definition of posse.
And then what would you remember Braun's response to that, what he said?
I thought he overreacted.
He was insulted. I don't remember what he said,
but he was the one that
insulted.
Made it act like it was a racial thing, which I didn't. That's funny because I did not take it that way.
Neither did I.
Phil Jackson.
Especially reading
Phil
it.
Jackson, that's it? No, Pat Riley. Who was it that said
Phil Jackson.
Phil Jackson, that's right. His posse. Maybe you should
a group of people who have a common characteristic occupation or purpose.
Yeah.
Pussy.
What's so bad about that? Gang, band, group, crowd, pack, horde, herd, throng, mob, swarm, troop, cluster.
I didn't understand that. I thought LeBron's response was even worse because he's the one making it a racial thing.
It can also mean a body of men typically armed, summoned by a sheriff to enforce the law. Informally, though, it means a group of people who have a common characteristic occupation or purpose.
Of course.
So apparently LeBron doesn't know what the word means.
And I guess
off
not.
On Phil Jackson. Did anyone point out, by the way, what the definition of the word is?
Of course not, no.
Are you kidding me?
It was just a pile-on of Phil Jackson after that.
You know, I swear I think the world has gone mad, like the last, mostly since the election, but it was really way before the election. The world has just gone mad. Did you hear New Balance Shoes congratulated Trump on being elected?
They did.
I mean, you really have to question what's going on in the corporate boardroom if they're a little more in touch than to know that people can't handle even congratulating someone for winning the presidency.
Well, I can't remember which supremacist group it was, but they named New Balance shoes as their official shoes now because of that.
Because of that.
I wear New Balance.
Do you?
Yeah.
Racist.
So New Balance.
It's just for fat feet.
So people are referring to New Balance as the official shoe of white people. And apparently New Balance thinks this is the worst thing that could have ever happened, to be considered the shoe of white people. Oh, the horror.
Of a white supremacist group? Yeah, I would
say. Not a white supremacist group. Uh-oh. Of white people.
I'm sure they're not thrilled that the white supremacist group took that up as upon their own.
No, they're taking out advertising, and they're telling people if you burned your shoes or threw your shoes away because you had the wrong impression that they'll replace. They're giving people free shoes.
Well, go burn your shoes. I'll give you a new pair of shoes, Tom.
I was going to tell my burner.
All right,
shoes.
I'll do it. Yeah.
But it just...
I have like three pair.
It's so funny that being the something of white people would be so... the absolute worst thing that could happen in terms of imaging if you're associated with white people. God, what could be worse than white people? Oh!
White people
the
sneakers.
The horrors! White people buy your product! Oh my God!
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
Hey, anybody got any favorite Thanksgiving movies? Well, Thanksgiving is a couple of those.
Thanksgiving movies?
A couple of those. No, I saw a stupid list of Thanksgiving movies.
Well, you know,
it's funny.
Home Alone came out at that time.
That's the only Thanksgiving movie I can think of.
I thought that was Christmas. They're Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Oh, yeah.
Beauties.
Alice's Restaurant.
No.
The Big Chill. You should know that.
That came out at
the Michigan movie.
Well, did I ever tell you that?
Michigan guys, how do you not know that movie?
Well, no, I do know the movie because I believe it was my graduation. Somebody suggested that we watch that. Like one of the speakers said, make sure you watch The Big Chill.
What?
Yeah. Well, it's a movie about they all come back after graduation. They reconnect.
Hey, where's our press conference? What the fuck?
You know, press conferences never start at the time they
Isn't
say they're
10 after?
Yeah, it's going to be late already.
Maybe it's already over, hopefully.
Mark's missed it for us already.
Did you check Fox Sports 1 just for shits and giggles? What if the networks blew it off? They're just going to pick it up on the news.
They're not going to blow it off.
I wouldn't think so.
Fox Sports 1 or Fox Sports Detroit? I think Fox
Sports Detroit.
Yeah, they got
Evan
soccer.
Skillian has said Pistons announcement coming any moment. You'll see it live on Local 4 News.
So okay.
If Devin Skillian says it, I believe him. How about Rocky? Rocky came out of Thanksgiving.
Rocky was listed as a Thanksgiving movie. I didn't even remember that it was Thanksgiving.
Remember yesterday I told you it was the 40th anniversary. So here it is, Thanksgiving week. Rocky.
Brokeback Mountain was listed as a Thanksgiving movie. What is there Thanksgiving in that movie?
Oh. There's a lot of stuffing.
That's a good one, Mark.
That wasn't that good, Thomas.
Yeah, I thought it was better than your other one.
They're all bad.
You got mail? You don't like You Got Mail?
What? Oh, you got that's a Thanksgiving movie, too?
Yes, so I've never seen it.
What's that about?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Tom, have you seen it?
No.
Tom would love it, I bet.
No, I wouldn't love it.
Because it's about love.
I would have watched it if I loved it.
Because Tom has an AOL account. Maz at AOL.com.
I do not have an AOL. I've never had an AOL.
Send him email at Maz at AOL.com.
I don't have it.
See what happens. See what pops back.
It's Pieces of April.
Never heard of it.
It's not a bad movie, actually. I'm trying to think. Is that Katie Holmes in that movie?
Never heard of it.
The Doors has a great Thanksgiving scene in it.
Really?
Doesn't Jim Morrison tear up the whole...
God, I don't remember.
I could have sworn. Wasted.
This is pretty bad. These are the best Thanksgiving. There seems
to be
a hole.
Christmas Vacation.
There is a hole for Thanksgiving.
How about Christmas Vacation?
That's a Christmas movie.
I know, but didn't they start it off in that Thanksgiving?
No, that's a Christmas movie.
Don't know.
Okay.
I don't think so.
I could be wrong.
What about Charlie Brown's?
Yeah. No, I always list those.
Remember when you covered with those mashed potatoes?
Okay, funny. Here's how bad it's gotten. Someone has taken the Hamilton cast and checked their voting record.
Oh, yeah.
None of them have voted. Right?
What do you know? They haven't been voting. In fact, they didn't even vote for Obama.
They're too busy.
It's kind of interesting.
A lot of people don't vote.
I know they don't, but a lot of people don't lecture the vice president after a performance. You'd think that maybe the guy would have voted for the black president. These are the... Well, I don't even know who these people are, so there's no point in listing them, but funny story, I thought. Dave Chappelle, 3 Netflix comedy specials in 2017. So apparently,
Only
Saturday Night Live,
new.
Only one of them's new?
Yeah, I think the other two are supposed to be from the vault, from his vault, yeah.
So they've,
I think Chris Rock, the same deal, because he has a deal with Netflix, too.
So unless you went to the show, it would be new.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I wonder how up-to-date material it is.
How much has Dave played around here?
Around here?
Since he was offered the $50 million when he kind of left the ranch.
Oh, boy. Well, he had that run of shows at the, was that the Fox or the Fillmore?
Yeah, I remember that. You guys went.
That was like a pop-up show, yeah, where they announced it and then he played a week later. And he played in Ipsilipsi, as he said.
Mm-hmm.
At the Convocation Center. That was after he left. That was like one of his first shows since he left. He played for 2.5 He performed for 2.5 hours that night.
How is he live?
Phenomenal. I think he's the best I've ever seen stand up.
No, he's real.
And that includes Louis.
He is funny.
I like Louis better, but I think Dave been, you know, in person is better. Just the way he plays off the
crowd.
Not
as good as Rich Little.
Was Dave
other time we saw him? He ended after about 40 minutes because the crowd was so fucked.
That's
up.
Right. That's what I was trying to remember.
That was another. That was
if you went to that show.
That was at the Fox. The pop-up show, I believe, was at the Fillmore.
Yeah, what the hell? The crowd wouldn't shut up? The crowd wouldn't stop hurling questions at him?
10 o'clock show, yeah.
Well, it happens a lot with the late shows.
They're
all
hammered.
Bob Crane's son.
Oh, God, this dope.
Hogan's Heroes.
I'm just trying to figure out this story.
There's no story. This DNA testing is on par with opening Capone's vault.
What is with this? I don't understand this. They made such a to-do out of the fact that we're going to announce the results of DNA testing. We finally will know who killed my father. And then they reveal that the DNA testing is 80% positive.
Yeah. 80%, it was Bob Crane on John Carpenter's car, right? Or do I have that backwards?
Yes. But we knew John Carpenter did it anyway. Just because they couldn't convict him, we knew he did it.
I know. It's totally stupid.
I mean, there's a long story that goes along with it, but basically, he went to do dinner theaters with Bob Crane, Hogan, from Hogan's Heroes, in cities all over the Southwest and in California and, you know, Northwest America, places like that. Washington, Seattle, Phoenix was a big locale. That's where he was killed. And the reason he traveled was because Bob liked filming his sex so much with groupies, and Bob didn't know how to set up the equipment. But John Carpenter did. He was his video expert.
It's like Jay.
Yeah.
Until, like all things, he learned how to do it himself and didn't need Bob Carpenter anymore.
That's what happened. And so Carpenter was so livid because he'd been picking up Crane's crumbs. Carpenter was getting laid a lot, too.
Yeah.
And Carpenter knew that as soon as he lost Bob Crane's crumbs, he was going to have to go back to pounding off, and he didn't like the idea. So he decided to kill Bob Crane, and he killed him with the leg of the tripod.
There you go, Tom. Now you can get rock. Look at the TV.
Ooh. The symbolic killing of Bob Crane, and he wrapped the video cord around his neck.
Yeah.
I mean, why don't you just sign your name?
Now he's really not going to get any sloppy seconds because there's no Crane left. Couldn't he find a different thing? Like, oh, okay, Bob, you know how to set up the equipment. Can I be your traveling manager, secretary? You don't even have to pay me anything.
And I think Crane just hated the guy. He was so sick of him, but he was so dependent on him because he needed that video equipment.
Yeah, that's why I always think of Autofocus, the movie, and Willem Dafoe played John Carpenter.
That's right.
And that's all I think of what he looks like now because I've never seen a real picture of him. Until
he's an ugly guy.
Until this story came out, and he looks like William Dafoe to me, but a fat version of Willem.
What the hell is going on here?
It's George Blaha, Mickey Redmond, and John Keating.
Yeah, Keats.
This doesn't look like a press conference, though.
They're getting ready.
Yep.
They haven't gotten to the stage yet.
I'm delighted to see Mickey on my screen. But
waiting for Illich and Goris to get to the front.
It's the symbols of the pistons and the wings coming together.
This is not the kind of press conference you'd expect to be 20 minutes late, is it?
No, not at all.
They had meetings at 2:30 today to try to get this thing, like the dot the I's, cross the T's.
They still have to
make this official in front of like city council next year.
Shouldn't they have done that at 1:30 so there was time for
exactly.
a little slop?
Maybe? I don't know what to tell you.
I mean, we're not going to podcast that much longer, I hate to tell you.
Ooh.
This thing doesn't come together here pretty soon.
We already know everything about it.
I'm with you, Mark.
We don't know enough. I want to know more.
You know, the one thing we knew, the big thing we learned today is, what, $55 million more in tax money going to it?
Did they say what that's for, by the way? Did they say?
Bring it up to NBA standards. Whatever that shall be.
I guess we discussed that a little bit. I don't know, $50 million is a lot of money.
Yeah.
But there's still about $800 million is what it's going to cost. That's what it's up to right about now, as we speak.
What was it supposed to? What was the promise originally?
I thought it was 600.
600?
Exactly.
I thought it was 600.
I got to tell you, 800 is a shit ton for an arena. Yeah.
But you know what?
I mean, seriously, when's the last?
But they changed.
Remember an $800 million arena? I can't even think of one.
Oh, God. They're like billion dollars nowadays.
Let's see what the Barclays cost, even though that's a disaster.
What did the Cowboys
Well, that's a billion-dollar stadium, isn't it?
It's more than that.
It
sounds like it's really nice.
It's going to be 20,000 seats for hockey, 21,000 for basketball.
Yeah, whatever.
I wonder if we'll get
supposed to bring in $600 million in revenue.
Yeah, 2,000 jobs.
I so doubt that number. By the way, that $600 million number.
It's probably inflated.
They always inflate those numbers.
They're going to have to fix the roads down there, too, to get some more traffic in and out of there.
Do you guys know much about the parking for this arena?
Yeah, across the street.
They're building
to hold how many cars?
I don't know that. But Montcalm, where Comerica is, the backside of Comerica, third baseline, they're building a huge, right next to the Tiger Garage, they're building another garage. So there'll be parking. You got the Foxtown, you got that. And you got three garages right there within a half a block of each other.
The Barclays cost $1 billion to build.
$1 billion.
Okay.
Dallas is $1.2.
$1.2.
Really? It didn't go over that? Surprised.
But the Barclays is not considered to be. People are not real happy with it, are they?
No, it's the newest one, though.
Well, the hockey that people aren't there. That's why the Red Wings wanted to move in. Excuse me, the Pistons wanted to move in now so they wouldn't have. What the Islanders happened to them. The Islanders moved in late, and, you know, they got the short end of the stick in Brooklyn. They should move back to Long Island anyway.
Why?
Because that's where they were born.
That's where they were born.
Stay on your island.
That's where they were born?
Oh, you know what I was talking about, that selfie of J-Lo? Ooh. Tell me, do you think this is something out of Casper's collection? Is this like something J-Lo would just throw out there?
It doesn't.
It doesn't to me either.
She looks good.
She does look good, doesn't she?
Gosh,
I think she is
how many,
really.
How many takes was that?
She's a fine looking lady.
How many filters are on that shot?
Yeah. Well, she's nice looking anyway. I'll take her anyway.
Want to hear how stars are like us? Since we're
since we
have to kill 9 hours to wait for this stupid press conference, it doesn't matter anyway.
That's, that nobody cares about except for Tom.
I mean, I would say stars being just like us is about as important as this press conference.
Have a Milano.
All right.
Pippa Middleton.
Yeah, how is she like us?
Well, she's
Got a great butt.
She's with her boyfriend. She's walking the dog, and she is a star just like us because she goes for a stroll.
What?
Yeah.
Well,
stars, they go for strolls just like us.
Everybody has to walk.
And then we have
Tom.
I want to give Drew a Vienna finger.
Can you make a little more noise opening those?
Do a taste test on that.
I'm on the air.
I know, but just take a bite.
I don't want. I've eaten them before. I know what they taste like.
How about a sleeve of Milanos?
God. George Clooney appears to have taken a bite of something. Oh, it's a pickle. So he is a star that is just like us because they crave pickles.
How do you know he's craving it there?
That's a good question.
I don't really crave
pickles. I think you're right. I don't either. So I'm not like them, and they're not like me, I don't think. Tori Spelling.
How?
She's got a cart full of something from the grocery store. Oh, they buy ice. It's ice.
So stars
are just like us because they buy ice.
I love bagged ice.
Buy
by
ice?
The way.
No, I don't buy ice. So stars not seeming to be very much like me at this point.
Tom, what do you mean?
Don't you like bagged ice better than refrigerator ice?
No. Why?
Totally
what?
Do.
That makes
What's
no
the
sense.
Difference? It's frozen water.
No, it tastes completely different.
Their water tastes different.
The bagged ice that you get from the supermarket or 7-Eleven is 10 times better than the refrigerator ice that you
All right, so if I went and got some right now and took some out of the fridge, you could tell me the difference.
Absolutely. In a second.
No way.
Yes, I could. In a
no
second.
Way.
Yes, I could.
Drew, do you have any bagged ice in the house?
No, because it's the same. It's water. It's made from water like my ice.
It's
well,
not
how could
the
it be
same.
Different?
Do you really think Tom can tell them apart?
No, I don't. I'd like to have a taste test. An
saying.
Ice taste test.
I'll tell you what. If I don't get them, then you guys don't have to have me on a podcast anymore.
Oh. Whoa.
If I do get them, then I'm here twice a week. You have a lot to lose on
Boy.
This.
Josh Brolin on a bicycle going for a ride.
Yeah.
They take a spin.
Okay.
But I haven't been on a bicycle in a long time.
Really?
I don't know these stars. These stars do not seem to be like me. This is Gigi Hadid, and she's throwing a sandwich in her mouth. That's a huge bite, by the way. They eat at parties.
What is she eating?
I don't know what it is. It's a some sandwich.
You see she apologized for her Melania Trump impersonation?
Yeah. What was her apology for, by the way? Because it was a bad impersonation?
How bad it was.
It was one of those apologies where, I'm sorry if you were offended.
Oh, okay.
Which are my favorite kind of apologies because it's really not an apology.
I don't think people were offended necessarily. Didn't they? Was it just stupid?
Oh, some people were offended and thought it was rude and that you don't treat the first lady like that.
Well, but you know, I think
she talks about how she's been made fun of on shows and she laughs. You have to laugh at it. I actually thought her apology was okay. She never apologized for just not being funny.
Well, that was to me was the worst thing of all. If you're
funny.
Gonna, I don't care who you're impersonating. If you do it well, and it's funny,
yeah.
But it was, oh boy. Here's Natalie Portman. She is on her. She's doing something with her phone there, and this star appears to be. They text on the go.
Oh, okay. Well,
stars. Like, now that is like me.
It's like everybody.
Like all of us.
Yeah.
Stars.
You finally
appearing
found someone.
To be like us.
You and Natalie Portman.
Yes.
She's in a pod.
Texting on the go. And this.
I know,
wow, this thing is still not... Wow, man,
I had less than zero interest in this press conference for the new arena or the Pistons moving down to Detroit, but I'm kind of interested now in how long it's going to take till they start it. It's the only thing of interest to me.
Let me go on Twitter and find out why.
I may have less than interest.
Why is this taking time?
I feel bad for Mick and Blaha and Keats because they have to just sit there and kill time.
Well, you know they're talking about nothing. I'll bring it up just so we can hear about the nothingness that they're talking about.
Here's the rendering, Drew, of the Pistons.
Organization, well, but as a guy who could make something happen around here.
All right, Little Caesars Arena will become the 11th building to house both an NBA and an NHL team.
So this is
why did it take him so long to say that word?
House.
In our lifetime.
Our.
Perhaps ever.
Did you see Kim Mathers in court today?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, she looked rough.
Rough.
Whoa.
Man. Woo. She had a boot on too. Did you notice that? She had a broken leg.
Uh-huh.
When they first came from Fort Wayne, right?
Yeah.
So they are really saying nothing.
In some of our lifetimes,
right? not all of our.
Ooh, uncomfortable laughter.
But we're used to the notion of.
Sit as a chair, NBA and NHL arenas.
This graphic's been out there for about a minute and a half.
We believe, I guess, will be shared between.
I think Mickey just wants to take like two steps backwards and just disappear from the shot.
I don't blame him.
Detroit's a great concert town. You know, first of all,
look, Mickey looks so bummed.
It's not just Motown, although Motown's now.
Motown. How often is there a Motown concert here? Once out of every 1,000 concerts.
The last one Blaha went to.
Musicians that have Detroit roots, so this will always be a great concert town.
Mickey, say something.
One of the interesting things about the new building is they're going to have courtyards around the building.
We could just change the subject.
You don't have to purchase a ticket for the
just
event.
Like me.
You can be in the courtyard watching
bored,
the event,
so took
whether
it
it's
another
a basketball game or a hockey game, on a big screen.
And that's pretty smart. What else was he going to add to the Motown concert
nothing.
Talk?
Nothing.
It has to be just ginger ale?
No, your ginger ale, George, can be whatever you choose it to be.
Okay.
That's the way
I'm done analyzing.
But, wow.
Them killing time. I found Gigi Haddad's apology. Actually, Jay found it.
Okay.
I was honored to host the AMAs last night and to work with some of the most respected writers in the business. I removed or changed anything in the script that I felt took the joke too far, and whether or not
the joke that wasn't the problem
to see it, what remained was done in a good humor and with no bad intent. I too have been the center of a nationally televised comedy skit that poked fun at my actions and was able to find the humor in it. I believe Melania understands show business and the way shows are written and done. I apologize to anyone that I offended and have only the best wishes for our country, respectfully.
Now, it's stupid. Gigi. It's stupid that she apologized in general. That's really the big problem. People apologize for everything. But what did she really do wrong other than that it wasn't funny?
It's almost like no one can do anything now, period, wow. without pissing somebody up.
That's because of Twitter and the internet.
Tiger Woods paying for sex again, allegedly.
Really? He's got a
new girlfriend. He's had a girlfriend.
I know. But did you hear, by the way, we were just talking about her before the show, Maz, when it was in the kitchen, when he just brought in his two pizzas before Jay brought in his entire lunch of everything Pizza Hut has to offer. But anyway, there's a story about Tiger's new girlfriend, and she was pulled over at an airport in Florida with $200,000 in cash.
Really?
In cash!
Is it a gift from Tiger?
That's what she said.
Really?
She said it was Tiger's. She said Tiger gave it to her.
Oh, okay, cool. What's wrong with that?
Wouldn't you write her a check?
It's what he had laying around the house.
It's a lot of cash.
It's his FU money.
Write her a check. Couldn't he just move the deposit or call somebody to move the money?
Well, hell yeah.
Where was she going? She said she was.
I think she was going home.
Maybe she was going to Vegas.
Oh, 200 grand.
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
It's a great
hit. Second shot for Tiger Woods out of the first cut.
Damn it. Tiger, come on.
Tired of those.
Let's go to 13.
God, Tiger.
Once again, a one-handed follow through.
Christ.
Oh, actually, you know what? It was at the airport.
Yeah.
During a routine security screening. I was thinking it was in the car outside the airport. It was at the airport. Police had found $200,000 in her bag upon arrival. I made contact with Kristen, and when asked about the money, stated, is this going to be available to the public? Oh, she didn't want it getting out. I asked, where'd the money come from? Kristen stated her boyfriend gave it to her. I asked her if her boyfriend could show proof to where the money came from, which Kristen stated she did not want to talk to me anymore. I don't want to talk to you anymore. Multiple insiders told the Inquirer the boyfriend in question is the former golf great, Tiger Woods. Kristen's own
former
cousin
golf great.
Said, it's awesome, but I'm not allowed to talk about it when asked about Kristen's relationship with Tiger. But it's awesome.
Oh, Tiger.
Left it to the right again.
Dumbass.
The busty blonde herself did not respond to multiple comment questions. The stylist for Tony Romo's wife, Candace, Kristen... Wait, that's her claim to fame? She's a stylist for Tony Romo's wife? Yeah. That's how we introduce her?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the stylist for Tony Romo's wife, Kristen. Kristen, what's her name? Kristen Smith.
Now she houses Tiger Woods.
I just can't believe I read that. A stylist for Tony Romo's wife, Candace. Kristen was previously married to Romo's former Dallas Cowboys teammate, Gerald Sensabaugh. Oh, she's a jock sniffer.
Yep.
Has a young son with him. She and Tiger have not been publicly photographed together, but it appears she is splitting her time between his Florida pad and her Dallas home. His name did not make it into the police report for her airport incident. The officer stated it was determined Ms. Smith was not involved in any criminal activity. She was allowed to rebook her flight.
And Tiger on the tee, the hole in the upper back right
Tiger
quadrant.
Tiger Woods, you suck! God damn it.
I could listen to those all day. Actually, we have enough to last a whole day, I think. Oh. Hey, did you hear about Angelina Jolie's new, apparently, where she's headed in life?
Lesbo?
Yeah, she's interested in some Lesbo action now.
Again, right?
Remember Gia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's always loved women, and she's had it with men after Brad. That's the last straw. She can't deal with men anymore.
Yep. The men are the problem, not her.
Of course.
That's how it always
is. Well, start with her father.
Yep.
Who she refused to talk to for many years because he cheated on her mother. And then even though she cheated on her her husband with Billy Bob Thornton, and cheated on Billy Bob Thornton's wife, she still feels very strongly about this when other people do it.
It's always the man's fault.
Right. It's different when she does it, but when other people do it, it's very difficult.
Hey, I got to get over it. I have a statement from Dan Gilbert. Would you like to hear it?
Nope.
Okay.
I'm so in love with my brother right now.
Oh, man. Paris Hilton's hanging out with Nicole Richie's little sister, who's only 18 years old.
Paris Hilton?
Yeah, Paris Hilton.
Doesn't she hang out with Nicole Richie?
No.
No, they don't.
They're not friends anymore.
They're not?
So she's moved on to her 18-year-old sister, Sophia Richie.
Well, Tom, why are you so mad at me that I didn't know that?
Oh, well, I figured you knew that.
Why aren't they
hang out with married people?
Why aren't they friends anymore? Just because they're married?
Perhaps.
Single people can't be friends with married people?
They could, but then they get tired of the married people.
Remember, they had a big falling out. I don't know what the hell their falling out was about. Wouldn't you love to know what Paris Hilton...
It was incredibly trite.
Yeah. No, I just have a feeling it was probably something ridiculous. More than 1 in 10 college students have slept with a professor.
Oh, really? Oh, that's interesting.
Pretty hot.
Slept with, so I actually had sex, not just
had
making
sex.
Out.
No, had sex.
Now, what if you had making out? That's more than that. It's gonna be what, 9 out of 10?
No, I never made out with a professor. God, I had a math teacher in college. She was hot. Or a marketing teacher, actually.
Yeah,
she was like 24 years old. Beautiful.
Had a couple very attractive teachers as well.
And I'm sure she would not recognize me in a crowd of one. but I don't remember, I don't know, I didn't know that chicks always, it seems like in movies, you know, like Animal House, we're talking about Animal House. Wasn't Donna Sutherland, were you talking about Donna Sutherland?
Yeah.
Yeah. He took,
Tom, did Kiefer ever call you back?
No. He didn't know my number.
That's right, he didn't leave a real message for
him. Right, he didn't know my
should we try him back today?
Sure.
We could.
Yeah, if Maz will lead the conversation.
So Tom's here. We can only call him when Tom's here.
Yeah,
so why not? It's ridiculous.
Did you guys want to talk to Braylon?
Oh, you know what? I want to call back, too, since this press conference isn't going to happen. We should call back the guy that got ripped off by Trump University and find out if he's getting money since Trump settled for $25 million.
Which is funny. I thought he never settled. Did you see his comment about it?
Yeah, it's unfortunate I had to run for president.
And he couldn't win,
So I couldn't win this trial that I would win or something.
So it's his way of saying I admit no wrongdoing.
$25 million. For some reason, I thought it was going to be more money than that. What was the original lawsuit? Do you know?
I don't remember.
Because this guy was out $35,000, it seems to me, or $70,000, or it's a lot of dough.
Yeah, it's like $37,000.
He was funny as hell. Remember that guy?
I don't think I was here then.
Really?
I think that might have been a Mike Clark day.
Cardboard cutout.
Yeah. Yeah, he took a picture with a cardboard cutout of Trump. That's as close as he got to Trump.
I've seen that guy, like on 2020.
Do you still have his number, Jay?
Yeah,
okay.
I'll get it.
Oh, he was a real character. Anything you want to add, Matt?
Not really. I was going to read you Dan Gilbert's statement, but Mark didn't want me to.
Why were you so obsessed with Dan Gilbert's statement? That sounds like something that would be extremely...
Remember I told you last night? I think he's in cahoots.
How's he in cahoots?
I think he's in cahoots with Goris.
How can that be?
Because I think eventually they're going to take over.
He wants
Olympia.
A piece of. Yeah, why would Goris share it with him, though? That's what I don't get.
Well, maybe Goris doesn't want to buy all of it.
They're going to split the city up.
Maybe he wants entertainment and wings, and then Gilbert wants the Tigers.
Perhaps.
They do have the soccer.
I suppose that's possible. Yeah. I mean, it would be.
They have the soccer arrangement
Yeah.
between them. That's why I'm thinking it's more than
I would think the one you'd want would be, okay, of course, he must like basketball for him to get into the Pistons, I assume.
Well, it's the cheapest way to get in.
Wouldn't you think he'd want baseball?
Why?
The Tigers? Maybe he's a big hockey fan. I don't know. I'm just thinking about him growing up in Flint in the 70s. Would he be more like, I don't know. Who knows? I mean, a hockey fan is a hockey fan, period.
Hard to say.
They're both very valuable organizations, in my opinion.
I would think Gorse would want to just buy it all.
That's sort of what I thought. That's why I couldn't figure out. Why would he want really Gilbert at all?
Because Gilbert owns half the town.
Unless, you know, maybe Gorse just wants the Pistons and the whole entertainment dealio, including the arena, and then maybe he'll sell the Wings. And
Aren't you? I don't know, anything's
possible now.
I got to tell you, I'm completely beside myself that they're combining the entertainment aspect, that they're going to actually do concerts together.
It just shows that he's going to buy that aspect of it. Like we talked about before, the Ilitches are selling it. Gorse is buying it.
Do we really know that, or is that just...
Well, why else would he fold his entertainment aspect? There's a lot of people that work at Palace.
The only thing I can think of is that by working as one entity, they control everything.
And the prices will be
higher. You have one less person to bargain with when you come to town, the price is going to be lower. The ticket price can be higher because where else are you going to go?
Are they really, though? Because didn't we talk about that? And the ticket prices seem to be the same from market to market.
Ticket prices are what the market will bear. I mean, you can only charge so much. But the cost of what you pay, I mean, when you're competing with another venue.
Oh, they pay, so their profit margin is greater.
Right.
True.
But I can't imagine that just raising the profit margin, whatever that raises it, would make up for all those shows at the Palace. Really?
I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe my mind is too small to understand this thing.
The Palace is booked still for events in next year.
Yeah, well, this isn't going to – they're not – I thought it was 2018, or is it
2017?
It is 2018.
17-18.
Oh, okay. I thought it was 18 for some reason.
I just –
By the way, they're still killing time.
Doesn't it seem strange that they would just bulldoze a perfectly usable concert venue like that?
The land's worth a ton.
I know the land's worth a ton, but the building doesn't that have some value?
I think it's a great building.
I do too. I mean, it's about as up to date as a building from that period could be.
Yeah.
It's anti-fat guy.
Actually, I've been in. Oh, is it?
The seats are anti-fat guy.
The world's anti-fat guy.
Not all.
And you know what? The concourses are small. They are. When that place is jammed, it's a pain in the ass to get around. That's really, I think, the biggest flaw in the whole place is it's hard to get around.
Yeah.
When it's crowded.
I think getting out of the place is horrible.
It can be. That's pretty common, though.
It's only because they block off these entrances, the 75.
I don't know why they do that.
They think they're doing good. They're not.
I found the teacher that's knocked up by the 13-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this.
Yeah,
this
I've girl, seen her.
She's like a nine.
She's pretty hot. Wow. Huge wreck. Although last time we talked about it, we found some full body shots, and she's not as hot. Those are like the two best pictures she's ever taken in her life.
I thought there were some other ones in here.
Those Car Fox photos.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
Although I think
even her mugshot isn't bad.
Well, maybe last time we talked about her, she was pregnant in the picture.
She's got a Warriors t-shirt.
She takes a good mugshot.
Yeah. No, I know she's hot, especially for a 13-year-old to bag.
Yeah, who's this 13-year-old? I mean, don't know what kind of a stud is pounding this. And you know what? She looks like she could be
a little thick, right?
She might be a little thicker huge. Than I thought.
Yeah.
I dig her.
She's all yours.
Thanks, Mark.
Oh, Bob Guio. That's the guy's name? Yeah, dial him up.
Then we got a call Keith.
A proud graduate of Trump University.
I wonder if the Senate, if he's allowed to talk about it.
Where is this university you speak of?
The Ether.
Hello?
Hey, is this Bob?
Yes.
Hey, Bob, it's Drew and Mark and Maz. We're doing a podcast in Michigan. We talked to you about Trump University a few months ago.
Right.
Yeah. And we wanted to call back because we heard about the settlement for $25 million. We wondered if you were getting your money back.
Well, the way it works is that the judge in California has to approve the settlement, which is applicable to the three cases, including the one in New York that was filed by the Attorney General of New York. And
I don't know what that means.
Assuming that he approves everything, then they're going to figure out how much money is going to be left over. And I'm not making any comments until I get the check in my hand. Let's put it that way.
Oh, wow. So you have no idea if you're getting a full refund or if you're just getting a couple bucks?
I'm positive I'm not getting a full refund, because if you read some of the stuff that's on the San Diego law firm's web pages, there's approximately 7,000 victims, I call them. And if you figure that the Attorney General of New York is going to take $1 million, the law firms are doing this pro bono.
Oh boy!
They're going to charge expenses, and you're talking about substantial expenses.
So that's $10 million right there.
I figure there's probably going to be maybe a pot of conservatively maybe $20 million. And then it depends on how much money each of these 7,000 people spent, so they're going to have a pro rata basis or something like that.
And you got upsold to like $35,000 or something?
Ooh. Yeah. So I figured that it's a good deal, because if it went to court and I had to fly out first of all to San Diego to testify, Trump would have kept appealing these things, and he's going to be doing it for the next 20 years. So we would have gotten nothing. So this way, even if you get $1,000, it's something.
Well, he's president now, so have fun being audited every year.
Right.
Would you say, Bob, that you've ever received...
Have your phone tapped by the FBI. Hey man, I'm killing Bob.
Yeah, this is great. What a room. Have you ever received less for more money?
Absolutely not.
Oh man, and your son got taken in too, right?
Yeah, but he only paid $1,500 for that initial course where I signed up.
Now, what happened? Were you impressed and said, "Oh man, I got to continue with this"? And he said, "I don't know, Dad." Or what was the story there?
Well, we both were impressed by this guy James Harris, who, if you look at the Washington Post, did a video on him of the interview. It's incredible. This guy now looks like the biggest con man in the world.
Oh man, well that's brutal. I got to tell you. And now, what about your classmates? Were you in classes with groups of other people too?
Yeah, but I never kept in touch. We don't have an alumni association.
Oh boy! As I recall, you took a picture with the cardboard cutout of Trump, or did you get a cardboard cutout of Trump?
When we walked in the room, they had a cardboard cutout of Trump, and they took a picture of every sucker that walked in the room, so that they could identify them and hit them one on one during the 3-day workshop.
Okay.
And then,
yeah.
You never know. I mean, after January 20th, maybe they'll call me to the White House and I'll get a real picture with Donald Trump. Huh? What do you think?
I doubt it.
Yes.
Before you disappear for a vacation.
Jay,
sorry about that.
Jay just brought your picture up with the cutout. And,
right.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird picture, too, because he's sitting down and you're standing up. But anyway, you're such a good sport about it. I wish I could have such a good attitude about something as crappy.
Hey, it's 7 years since I took the course. And the Attorney General started the action in 2013. So, you got to be patient and you got to laugh a lot.
That's true. I've been ripped off plenty in my life, too. I usually end up laughing about it. So, what are you going to do?
Get him out of here.
Yeah, there's nothing you can. Well, when I invested in Trump hotels and casinos, I lost about 11 grand there.
What?
When
was that?
Wow.
A long time ago?
That was when he first started everything in Atlantic City.
Oh, sorry about that.
You bought stock?
Yeah, it was called Trump Hotels and Casinos.
Yeah, boy.
And then they went bankrupt, and everybody was like stocking them.
What other Trump things have you bought? Have you gotten like Trump wine, or did you try steaks?
No, sounds I never
like
you're tried the Trump wine or Trump steaks. Yeah, Trump, and
you ever stayed at a Trump hotel.
The only thing I got out of the deal was that I forget which. I guess it was in the initial workshop. If you answer the question correctly, you got a Trump T-shirt, which was made in I forget Thailand or something like that.
Oh,
Nicaragua. That's where it was made.
Nicaragua.
Stop it.
Well, I tell you what. I hope you get as much money back as you put in there. It doesn't sound like you're going to, but at least you're still laughing about it.
Oh, you got to laugh because there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I was fooled. And it cost me oh, I guess between my son and myself, almost $36,000, okay? And the American people fell for the same line, and God knows what it's going to cost them, right?
Well, we'll find out.
Bob, weren't you used in anti-Trump commercials, though?
The American Future Fund took a commercial of me, and they were showing it when they were against Trump.
Did you get paid?
In Florida and all the other places. And then after Trump was nominated as the candidate for the Republican Party, all of a sudden their website, American Future Fund, eliminated that.
Well, they did.
Did you get paid for doing that commercial?
Oh, absolutely not. I had to sign some kind of an affidavit saying that the lawyers for American Future Fund would protect me against any legal actions, but that I was getting no compensation whatsoever for it.
Did the commercial run a lot when it did run? Because sometimes those things run nonstop.
I got people from friends from Florida and people from here that, you know, snowbirds, and they go down to Florida. They were saying, "Oh, we saw your commercial, either a 30-second or a 1-minute spot all the time down in Florida when they had more candidates."
All right.
Bob's big in Florida.
Well, listen, Bob, it's great talking to you.
There's just one more thing I want to mention.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
You remember there was a mayor in New York who's died now. His name is Donald Koch.
Yeah, right. Of course.
I'm sorry, not Donald. Ed Koch.
Ed Koch.
Okay. And when he lost the election, he made this statement, and it went to the effect of, the people have spoken, the people shall be punished. And if you don't think that applies to Trump, well, I do.
Well, all I can say is I wish us all luck, and thanks for your time, and again, appreciate you being
a
good sport.
You're welcome, and good luck with everything you do.
Thanks,
Happy
Bob.
Thanksgiving, Bob. Right.
See you, Bob.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Same to you. Bye-bye, guys.
You know how much Trump stuff my parents have brought home over the years? Because they frequent Atlantic City, and they always went to Trump Marina or Taj Mahal. They've given me countless souvenirs from there, and I've gotten rid of them over the years. Now, you're probably worth something now.
Yeah, no, they're not.
You don't think so?
I doubt it.
I had Trump umbrellas. I had Trump so many robe.
Yeah. Hey, I'm so bored with this announcement, by the way. I don't even want to watch this thing. We need to wrap up. It's almost at the two-hour mark anyway. So.
You don't want to see who's there?
No,
the dais?
I don't.
Who's that dude?
Looks like Adam Silver's at the dais.
He is.
Who cares?
Who's that dude? The deal teams will be available to brief you after. I've never seen it. Who is that, Tom?
I missed who it was.
Okay, great. Next.
They're not going to tell us a thing. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow, I guess. So. Sorry about that. I thought we were going to have this thing at 3 o'clock. It's 3:50 now.
Nobody's missing anything.
No, there's nothing. They're not going to tell us anything.
Look how happy Tom Gores looks.
He looks as thrilled as ever.
Yes, he's talking.
Have a good one, everybody.
I want to hear him.
See ya.
I want to hear him.